Your best bet is to go out there and live life and do creative things. Turn off the TV, get away from the phone and the social media, and look around and see what you can do to be productive and create and make others' lives better.
Hello and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Dawn D. Boyer, PhD, completed her Doctor of Philosophy in Education from Older Binghamton University in Norfolk, Virginia in 2013. She has been an entrepreneur and business owner for 25-plus years, currently in her consulting firm, D. Boyer Consulting, serving Virginia Beach, Richmond, Colonial Beach, and Gloucester, Virginia, and international clients. Dr. Boyer works with job and new career seekers to write search engine optimized resumes for increased visibility to recruiters, getting the candidates past the recruiting firewall and interviewed for faster hires and placement. She's the author of 1,060 plus books on topics of genealogy, family lineage, business and career search practice, motivational quotes, and her Interview with an Artist series. Dr. Boyer has conducted in-depth genealogical research over the last three decades and has published over 505 surname lineage books, including the surnames of founding families of Virginia, Pocahontas and her descendants, and ancestors from Carteret County, North Carolina, and Monroe County, Tennessee. Her genealogy database is over 402,000 names, from which she creates her genealogy publications. Using her artistic talents, she has gained 119 adult hobby coloring books, all on Amazon and listed on her author's page, Dawn D. Boyer, PhD. Dawn was a mentor with the SBA's SCORE, Senior Corps of Retired Executives, for 5 years. She has assisted business owners working on developing their brand and marketing plans within social media marketing, planning, and management. Her immediate future interests are to work in her studio in Gloucester County, Virginia, creating artwork, including sculptures, fabric art pieces, and building miniatures and dioramas, as well as imaginary creatures for fantasy fans. Hi, Dawn. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
I am so glad to hear that. Okay, so you were born in Knoxville, Tennessee, and grew up in Rome, Georgia, and the outskirts of Richmond, Virginia. What was it like for you growing up in Georgia and Virginia?
Well, in Georgia, I was sort of young, so I don't remember much about it. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do remember, my parents took me to dancing ballet lessons, and I remember going to the venue and looking up and seeing the huge statue of Romulus and Remus suckling from the wolf in front of the building, mm-hmm. and that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And growing up, I read that you loved drawing, sewing, crocheting, designing your own dollhouse. Of those creative things, which one did you love most?
The quilting and the crocheting, I think, are my favorite just sit and watch TV type of pastimes. I've probably made over 30 quilts in my lifetime and hoping to start it back up again. Huh. And the crocheting, learned at my grandmother's knee when I was about 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I make afghans and just have been learning a lot of new stitches lately that is just absolutely gorgeous. So I'll make three or four of them a year and give them away for Christmas presents.
Oh, that's so cool. First of all, were your parents supportive of everything you wanted to do?
Yes. They did the best they could to support me. Mm-hmm. I remember my father bringing home stationery from his office, and I would use crayons to make them into coloring paper so I could do projects. And then they would help me pay for paints, acrylic paints, when I was in high school. Mm. And they encouraged me to go back and get my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree when I moved to Radford, Virginia, where the Radford University is.
Okay.
And they have always been supportive of my art, although they also are recognizing that it doesn't always pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you have your own consulting company, but prior to that, prior to owning your own consulting business, you have accomplished quite a few things. You mentioned from getting your BFA to owning and managing a house cleaning business, then getting a master's in business, being a director, manager of several government contractor companies, using your art to illustrate coloring books to adults for adults, which consisted of various themes such as 5 volumes of fairy houses and fairy doors, as well as sketchbooks and grayscale photo coloring books of colonial Williamsburg, as well as getting your PhD in 2013. What was behind your drive?
I sometimes wonder if I have ADHD. Mm. I cannot sit still. Mm. Some people will come home after work and sit on a couch and, watch the boob tube for a while, but I cannot do that. My hands have to be moving constantly. When I started my cleaning business in Richmond, it was a 8-to-5 Monday through Friday job with occasional weekend work. And then I realized that, I was bored and I needed to get something done in the evening. So signed up for my master's degree, and that was adult education and human resources. Mm. And then after I got that, moved to Virginia Beach, could not find a job to save my life, and I didn't want to start house cleaning again. Mm-hmm. So, went into the education field and then finally HR. And all the time, it's like, every spare minute I had after I got home from work, I had to be making something, sewing, stitching quilts, doing crocheting, building things, sculpting, that sort of thing. And when I lost my job through a layoff and went in to get my PhD, it was another one of those things where, okay, I'm bored. I'm sitting at home and not doing anything. So I came home one day and just walked in the door and told my husband, says, honey, I think I'm going to go for my PhD. And he just sort of blinked twice and went, okay. But I have to fill my day all day with something. I'm one of those walk around the house while I'm on the phone sort of people. Mm. And right now in my art studio that I finally created when we moved to the little farm here in Gloucester, Virginia, I've got 900 square feet of wonderful paint pots and working spaces and all kinds of wonderful things that I could just sit all day and make things.
Wow. That's wild. Well, okay. So were your parents the same? I mean, and what lessons did you learn from them? Were they just as driven?
My mother was more laid back. And she did her daily housewife chores all the time. But my dad was a workaholic. Mm. He had a full-time job teaching at high school. He taught at Highland Springs High School and another high school in Richmond, and he couldn't keep still either. So he ended up teaching part-time at Richmond University and other small colleges around in Richmond during the evenings, and then he'd come home and he was always busy, washing cars and cleaning house and ironing and stuff like that. So I think I looked at him and I modeled my own behavior after it because I don't like sitting around and doing nothing. I prefer to be productive.
Right. Okay. So I mentioned before you own a consulting company, Dawn Boyer Consulting. Can you tell me what your company is about and what prompted you to start it?
Yes. Right now, the focus on my services are, the primary one is I help rewrite resumes for job seekers. Mm. I've been doing that since 2010. And before that, I was also rewriting resumes for one of the government contracting companies. Okay. So I could probably safely say that I've rewritten over 14,000 resumes over the last 20 years. Huh. And I've got all 5-star reviews on Google, so I must be pretty good at what I do. Mm-hmm. And then the other aspects of my business is the authors that are out there that are trying to get their manuscripts published. I help them self-publish to Amazon, and I've helped over 70 authors get that achievement under their belt.
Wow.
And I also create and publish books myself. My forte and focus for a large majority of my books are genealogy lineage books. I have been doing genealogy semi full time for the last 30 years.
Wow.
And have over 350 genealogy books out there and continuing to strive to collect data for founding families of Virginia, the U.S. presidents, and other famous people. And it's interesting that one of the things I stumbled across about 6 years ago was that my husband was like the 10th great-grandson of Pocahontas.
Wow.
And this is through her daughter, Little I forget how to pronounce her name, but she had a daughter that a lot of people don't know about because the Indian tribe hid the baby from the white man after Pocahontas was kidnapped so that she wouldn't suffer the same fate as her mother.
Wow.
So the daughter, Little Kekoam, married a Pettus, English nobleman, and her daughter, Christian Pettus, is the progenitor of a lot of Pocahontas descendants in the United States today.
Wow.
And my husband is one of them.
That is so wild. Oh my gosh. Yes, I read that when from the questions that I asked you. That's so cool. And you're also 10th cousin to former President Barack Obama. That's so cool. Now, what did you think of that when you found that out?
Well, it was interesting, although I didn't vote for him.
Okay.
I'm also like eighth cousin, one or two times removed from Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you remember or have seen that show Pawn Stars from California.
Yes, yes.
The old man came from the Hensley line, and that's my mother's name.
Oh.
And so there's, a whole lot of different aspects. You know, we really are one village, and there's so many people are related to each other.
Right.
My husband and I are actually 13th cousins, one time removed from each other.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, okay, so what got you started with this genealogy project?
Well, the first time was, I guess I was in high school, and I was supposed to write about, our family tree or something. And I went into the little mother-in-law or father-in-law apartment that my grandfather was in, and he was telling me all these wild stories about how some of his family members were from Transylvania, which was before the war turned it into Germany or Austria or whatever it is now. And he used to joke about, how our incisors were a little bit pointed all in the family.
That's so funny.
And then he would say, you descend from an Indian princess. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And so he was describing, I think his grandmother was supposedly a member of an Indian tribe, and she was the daughter of a chief.
Wow.
Turns out after all the genealogy that I've done, that wasn't true.
Okay.
It got me interested, and my mother used to send off her all these birth certificates and death certificates for family members doing the research. And then the interest sort of went away until about the early 1990s. And I went to work for a man named Robert Taylor, who owned the Taylor Companies in Norfolk. And I started finding these newspaper articles and photographs of things around the office, and I asked him about it and got really interested in his family and their history and their businesses. And one of his uncles came and would tell me all these stories about their interactions in Haiti and Cuba during the revolutions, and the four Taylor brothers were hosting Papa Doc Duvalier on their yacht when there was a coup at the palace. And then in Havana, Cuba, they had their ferry boats that transferred railroad cars full of bananas over to Florida. And they were at the dock one day and heard that Fidel Castro's troops were coming to take over everything at the dock. So they gathered up all the railroad cars that were in good condition. And then all of a sudden there was a bunch of people on the dock begging to be taken with them so they could escape the revolution.
Wow.
So they boarded, you know, several hundreds of people on the ferry and pulled away from the dock just as Fidel Castro's troops were marching into the, you know, the dockyard. And so, you know, they saved a lot of people from communist, you know, takeover.
That's crazy. Wow.
So, you know, those stories just fascinated me. So I ended up writing a history book of the Taylor brothers from, you know, their origins in Carteret County, North Carolina, and all the way up to the modern day Taylor companies, and presented it to my boss for Christmas one year. And, you know, as I was gathering all the names of the related family members in Carteret County, I started realizing a lot of them went on a wagon train down to Alabama. And come to find out, my husband's family intermarried with several of these people from the Carteret County area. So he's related to just about all the surnames in Carteret County, North Carolina.
Wow.
And including Thomas Nelson, that from the Hampton Roads area, you know, the commander in chief, and where they named the community college after. So it's just, you know, it just gets more and more fascinating with all the connections.
And I also thought it was amazing that you've helped people trace their roots as far back in history, you know, to enable them to apply to enable them to apply to the Daughters of the American Revolution. That is so wild. So when you approach these, you know, when you have found, you know, traced these people's backgrounds to the Daughters of the American Revolution, how were they responsive? How did they respond to that?
Oh, they were very excited. Yeah, I had one gentleman who was asking about one person he just couldn't find any information about, and he probably wasn't looking in the right place, but looked in my database and was able to spit out a report of like three or four generations of his family. And when he came back, he said, "I'm almost in tears. You've given me enough information to apply for the Jamestown Society that are descendants of those who came over, you know, on the first colonization efforts." So it's pretty cool. And then there's a Facebook group that's out there. It just started a couple of months ago, and I think he's already got 12,000 members. It's called the Founding Families of Virginia. And the emphasis is for all the people who came over to colonize between the founding of Jamestown and up to 1850. And so the group is growing in leaps and bounds, and I'm having fun when people are saying, "Oh, does anybody have any information on, you know, John Smith or Joe Blow or you know, Roger Martin or something like that?" I'll go into my database and go, "Oh, I've got that name." So I'll print out a screenshot of my data and post it in there. And people are just thrilled to death to say, "Oh, that's my great, 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 great grandfather." You know, so it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I started like going into my own genealogy a few years ago, maybe like 2 years ago. And then, unfortunately, I kind of stopped because I kind of like, well, I was stumped because a lot of my relatives have either passed away or, you know, the ones that I do know didn't really have all the information. And I'd have to like keep looking that up. And I just didn't have the time that I really wanted to spend on it yet. but I'll probably get back to it because it is fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, you could definitely go into a rabbit hole.
Yes.
and just
for sure.
I'll be going into some people's histories, and I use a lot of digital online platforms mm-hmm. to gather my information. Mm-hmm. And Ancestry.com is absolutely amazing because not only do they have, you know, all the census data, mm-hmm. but they actually have, you could clickable links to open up the census form.
Right,
actually look at the names of your family members.
And
all other kind of sources that back up the data that you're inputting. So it's
amazing. That is very cool. Yeah, it's funny because I love shows like that. I actually started going down the rabbit hole with the show, Who Do You Think You Are? And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Because then you start like seeing all the census data and the births and deaths. And, you know, it just goes back and back. And it's like, it is so wild, to see that, like all the connections, like you said, and how far in history they go, you know, it's like wild. But I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I was, I loved the Lewis Gates.
Yes, that's the one.
Show, and so it's very interesting. About 3 years ago, I got this email from a young lady. I think she was down south in Florida or something. She says, I'm working for this show, mm-hmm. and I ordered one of your books, but it's not going to be able to get here till Sunday, and my deadline is Saturday. Mm-hmm. She said, are you able to, can I pay you to, you know, spit out, you know, just some information about the Belcher family? And said, well, you know, okay, yeah, I'd be happy to share, you know, can I get my name listed on the credits of the show when it finally comes through? And who are you actually researching? She's, oh, well, I can't tell you. But I went, okay, well, you know, if I could get my name on the credits, then I'll be happy with that. Mm-hmm. So I sent her a report, and it was probably like 3 or 4 generations long. And come to find out, the Belcher family, mm-hmm. which is the one she was researching, is the ancestor of Sammy Hagar, the singer.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
So it's funny because they said they reached all the way back to like one family, but they had several brothers. And they said they could not identify which brother was the father of, you know, his, you know, straight ancestor, but he truly is a Belcher, not a Hagar.
That's wild. Oh my gosh.
So, it was fun because I got to watch the episode in the very end, like for a tenth of a second, I saw my name flash up there on the credits.
That's so cool. That must have made you feel good, you know, knowing that you were able to contribute. That is so, I love shows like that. I really do, you know. And it's so neat because then you really begin to realize that, you know what, there's so many things you don't know about yourself, right?
Yes.
And these people have paved the way for where you are now, you know, and I love that because, you know, then you wonder, it's like, okay, the characteristics that I have, another person has it, you know, but I never knew that, you know, and that is so neat. So, oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Yeah. I probably would gross a lot of people out because there's several counties that I actually have open tabs for their funeral homes on my computer all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Every week I go in to check to see who died, and if their names are in my database, I go in and start plugging in the sisters and the brothers and the children to their.
Wow. Oh my gosh. But that's information, you know, and that's, yes. I think that's fine. So, oh my goodness. Okay. So, who would you credit for where you are now?
I think I would probably credit my father, number one. He was a god in my eyes. He could do no wrong. He was the most generous, most exuberant, most active, and smart men I have ever met in my life. And he loved family. And in fact, he had this little logo he used to play with my sister and I. He'd always, in the middle of, you know, a conversation or just out of nowhere, he'd say, "What's the most important thing?" And we were supposed to chime in together saying, "Family." And he would say, "Why?" And we would answer, "Because they'll never let you down." And you know, that's the kind of family mentality we had. He would, you know, hand his shirt off his back to anybody who needed it. He would always volunteer to do things for people. And I grew up admiring his mentality, his ethics, his business savvy, and try to model myself after him and hoping that, you know, although he's passed away now, that he's looking down and very proud of what his daughter has achieved.
That's awesome. Yeah. So can you mention a time when you thought you needed to do something that could affect your life and others?
And I know that after I got my second divorce, that I was absolutely positively not planning on ever getting married again. And when I met my current husband through Match.com, he was adamant about not getting married again, ever again, either. We had three spouses between us already, and we just weren't interested. But it just got down to the point very quickly that we were each other's soulmates. And he is my best friend. He is my knight in shining armor. And he's the man that was put into my life to make my life wonderful. And the farm that we moved into, you know, I come up with and think of projects, and he steps into them and makes them come true. And at one point, he's like, you know, "When we retire, you know, we're going to run out of projects." and I responded like, "You think that's ever going to happen?"
That's so funny. I love that.
Yeah.
He's wild.
Very supportive. And I think the most romantic thing he's ever done that really convinced me that this is the man in my life is right after our first date. He showed up the next day. I'm still in my nightgown. My hair's askew. I haven't even washed the makeup off from the night before. And I hear this knock on the door, and I open it, and there he is. And he whips this rose out from behind his back. He said, "I can't stay. I'm here just to drop this off. But I wanted to show this rose how beautiful you are." And that just, oh my gosh, that one line convinced me that he was a man that really did put a lot of effort and thought into a relationship.
That's so wonderful. Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, so what's next for Dawn? I mean, with all of your projects, what's next for you?
Well, right now, I am planning on heading into what I call business retirement, or at least the business I'm into, by the end of this year. I'm going to essentially close the business doors to Dawn Business, Dawn Boyer Consulting. But I'm still going to be, you know, if past customers call me up and say, "Hey, I just need an update on my resume," or "I've got another book," you know, I'll probably do it anyway. But my next phase, and it's really strange, we've got a Facebook page on called Phase 3 for Jim and Dawn. And the phases are: phase one is when you're growing up, you're, you know, learning your business skills, getting your jobs and starting your career. Phase two is when you settle down with the family and raise your kids and get, you know, any more education, establish your career, you know, long-term career. Well, phase three is retirement. But for us, retirement really isn't in the picture per se. So we bought a little hobby farm in Gloucester, Virginia, and it's got a house on it with a mother-in-law suite that we can turn into an Airbnb. My husband spent all last summer building a gazebo so that I can offer wedding venues, very small micro wedding venues in the gazebo. And we're trying to get all the landscaping done so I can actually put it out there on the market.
Uh-huh.
And because I am a wedding officiant, I am able to conduct the weddings there. And so it'll be like pop-up weddings, vow renewals, small, okay, teeny tiny elopements, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is also thinking about buying a CNC plasma cutter so he can do metal signs and gates and business, you know, signs for people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just got so many things going on. And I'm also concentrating more on trying to market my Fairy Houses and Fairy Doors books.
Mm.
But what I'm doing to market that is I have a shared driveway beside the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been hanging and installing little fairy doors and fairy houses all the way up and down the driveway. And I think as of last weekend, I have 140 little fairy houses and doors, and they range from like little mushroom size all the way up to like maybe a 10 by 10 by 10 little platform with the door.
Uh-huh.
And I also have sprinkled 3D printed fairies, and I have little creatures called ivykins, which are about maybe 10 to 12 inches tall, that are just covered with ivy and have big eyeballs out front. So I'm going to encourage people to drive by or walk by and see how many they can count.
That's wild.
And hopefully I'll be able to market my Fairy Houses and Fairy Doors book through, you know, this particular venue.
Okay. So if anyone wanted to know more about you and your company and your works and other things that you, any projects that you're doing, how would they go about it?
Well, if they wanted to reach me through my business, I do have a website out there. It's dboyerconsulting.com. And if they want to see all the arts and crafts and fun stuff that we're doing here at the farm, they can go onto Facebook and look for Phase 3 for Jim and Dawn. And I'm all over Facebook. I'm all over LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
All over Instagram. So, you know, it'd be easy to find me if they just Google my name or search for my name in any of those platforms.
Great. Okay. Is there anything you'd like to say to my listeners?
Say that again.
Is there anything you'd like to say to my listeners?
I would probably say that your best bet is to go out there and live life and do creative things. Turn off the TV. Get away from the phone and the social media, you know, except for this podcast. And
thank you.
And,
okay.
And look around and see what you can do to be productive and create and make others' lives better. You know, one of the things that we're hoping to do eventually is to make our vegetable garden so big that we can start donating to the local church food banks. And I do a lot of canning and dehydrating, and I have two pantries that are full.
Wow.
But sometimes I get too much. So I canned like 80 jars of green beans this last season. And I'm looking at my husband going, you know, we're going to have to eat green beans every night, every week to get through all these cans of green beans.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But, yeah, hopefully the garden this year is going to be much better and more productive. And, you know, we just like to share with folks. And I am, you know, more inclined to give things away than sell them, although I've got to stop that. I got to start charging money for things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, if you had one thing to change that you wish you had done years ago, would there be one?
I wish that my husband and I had met each other when we were much younger. But and he consistently says, I wish we had met sooner than later so that we could have had a child together. You know, that's one of the impossible things. But he also noted, he said, you know, we may not have liked each other when we were much younger. We had both been through, you know, one or two divorces each when we met each other. And we had that more mature and wise attitude at the time.
But,
you know, we're about to celebrate 20 years together this upcoming January.
Congratulations.
You know, thank you. And, you know, we fall in love even more and more with each other every day. And so, you know, if you're out there and you're looking for your significant other, it will come. They're out there. You just have to be patient. And, you know, one day karma will have them step right in front of you and without you even realizing that that's the person.
Wow. I love that. And my last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Buy Apple stock.
Okay. That is so funny. I love that. Okay. Well, yeah, save for rainy. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well done. Thank you so much for stopping by on my show and for sharing.
It was my pleasure.
For sharing your life and your work with me, your works with me. Oh my goodness. I'm like, as I was reading everything that you've done so far, I'm just like, how does this, when does this woman sleep? You know?
From 1:30 in the morning till 9 the next day.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Somehow you manage 8 hours, but I was just like fascinated by like all the things that you've accomplished. And it's like, okay, you know, it's like you're putting a lot of people to shame here. No, but I think it's wonderful, you know, and I love that, especially your genealogy work. I think it's so fascinating. So please, you know, that I love that you're contributing so much to so many people just by, you know, sharing with them what you've learned about their families. So, yeah, I love that. Thank you for that. And
you're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you again for stopping by. And I wish you so much luck with your next phase, with your phase three. And, you know, I can't wait to hear more about it. So, well, have a good one. And I'll talk with you soon. Take it easy.
Okey-doke.
Okay, all bye-bye. That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Dawn D. Boyer on RevWoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.